Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Monday's here. Welcome in. First full week of the month of June. Hope you had a fantastic weekend and that you're ready to talk some sports. Of course you are. If you're here, you're probably wanting to talk sports. Even if you're not, we welcome you here. Spencer on Sports, kicking off local programming here on KGYM. 4 straight hours of it. That's what we bring you every weekday from 2 until 6 p.m. Proud to be offering local sports talk radio here throughout the airwaves in eastern Iowa. 1600 AM, 102.3 on the FM dial in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. You can find us streaming online at KGYMradio.com. Free to download app is available for your smartphone in the App Store, either Google or the Apple App Store, Google Play or the Apple App Store. You can grab it today and fire up the stream that way. You can also find us on your smart speaker and, of course, podcast form after the program is over. We put the show, package it up into a neat little podcast you can download. If you missed anything, you can download it and listen to the show at your leisure. That'll be up at KGYMradio.com. Once we are through today, just before 3 o'clock. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well here on a Monday afternoon. Isaac, how was the weekend for you?
It was good. Busy. I worked the farmer's market at Z,
okay,
and then
right.
I had the IndyCar yesterday, but it was good. I had a couple hours to get stuff done on Saturday and Sunday, so.
You were outside for the farmer's market, obviously. That's not
right,
indoors,
yeah.
But the air conditioning was blasting full strength at my place over the weekend with the warmth and humidity. That's summertime though. So
it was I'll say Sunday. It was quite warm in the studio there.
So. Our window faces west. I don't want to play too much inside baseball here, but our window faces west. I think I've heard Todd complaining about this before, but our studio window due west. We are looking west from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. So especially around the fall time when the sun's starting to sink down about 6 o'clock or so, whatever, it shines right through the window. You get pretty toasty in here. So
yeah, it was quite humid. I think I looked up at the thermometer up there and it said like 77,
ooh,
78 a couple of times.
Nice.
So
yeah.
It was all right though. The race went pretty fast.
There
so it wasn't, it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't, it was not a, not a long afternoon in the heat and humidity here yesterday afternoon. Appreciate that. Isaac here with you as well on this Monday afternoon. We got lots to get to in the next hour here on the program. Of course, we'll talk about the NBA finals. We got ourselves a series. It looked like for a while there it was going to be 2-0 Nuggets, and you can't have Nuggets in five unless the Nuggets lose a game, right? And that was our prediction here on the show. And, well, the Nuggets lost last night. Is it the start of another incredible finish out to the series here for Miami? Or is it, okay, the Nuggets slipped up once and they're going to figure it out, go down to Miami and win a couple games and basically end this thing? We'll see what happens, but we'll recap that. Take a look at tonight's action in hockey. Vegas with a big third period on Saturday night to take a 1-0 series lead. They're gunning for a 2-0 series lead. We'll talk about that, get a little preview of that before 3 o'clock. Also check out the Major League Baseball scoreboard here for you today. We're going to start with the world of college baseball. Spent a good chunk of time on Friday's show previewing the regional round for the Iowa baseball team. And, run came to an end yesterday at the hands of the host, the Indiana State Sycamores. Last time I have to talk about them for a while. People can't jump down my throat if I accidentally say their name wrong, but the Indiana State Sycamores, the host team, they knocked out the Hawkeyes, beat them twice, all said and done, at the Terre Haute Regional in Indiana over the weekend. And we'll start with that here today. Remind you, if you want to interact with the show before we dive into that, your thoughts welcome on the Iowa baseball team or anything from the sports weekend at 319-366-1600. Again, 319-366-1600. That is our talk or text line here on a Monday afternoon. Let's jump in with that Iowa baseball weekend. I thought Iowa had a pretty good chance to get out of the regional. Indiana State, a very good baseball team, and they certainly proved it this weekend with their play. Came down to the late innings in two of their affairs, and really all three of their wins. So when you look at it for Indiana State, but it was not without challenges to their baseball team. And boy, for an Indiana State team that won 42 games, had an RPI of 9, you know, playing the Missouri Valley, a solid conference, not, you know, the strongest conference in the world, not on the same level as like an SEC or an ACC or even a Big 12, certainly proved their mettle here this weekend, coming back on Friday, a game we talked about as it happened, or shortly after it happened here on the show on Friday, beating Wright State. Big eighth inning to come back and beat Wright State in the opening game. Then getting to Iowa's bullpen, which faltered in the eighth inning on Saturday, beating the Hawkeyes 7-4. And then, boy, a crazy game when it came down to it, with runs scored, hit by pitches. In fact, I was almost hit by a pitch coming into the studio today. No, I wasn't. But it seems like every time you turned around, you watched that game yesterday, if you had a chance to take it in between Iowa and Indiana State, another batter was getting hit by a pitch. And unfortunately, the most batters getting hit by pitches were those of Indiana State and not the Iowa Hawkeyes yesterday. And really, it was a late inning home run that helped Indiana State essentially put that one to bed as they won their regional. But for the Hawkeyes, you know, a solid showing, not the results you wanted, but overall, in the end, I think overall, despite not getting out of the regional, I think they had a fairly positive weekend. I don't think I'm crazy in saying that. Again, the bullpen issues, I think, are going to dampen kind of the spirit, or dampen kind of the attitude towards what happened here over the weekend in the Terre Haute Regional. But overall, beating North Carolina twice, getting to the championship game, putting up 8 runs. Again, if your pitching staff could have held on a little bit longer, or if the pitching staff could have worked a little bit better, maybe not hit as many batters, not given as many free passes, they were right there with the host team and could definitely have forced a game 7 if it was necessary today. But that's not going to be the tale of it. It's going to be a disappointing loss in the end to the host team, a very good host team in the Indiana State Sycamores over the weekend. In case you missed how everything played out for Iowa, it started off on Friday with a solid victory over North Carolina, winning 5-4, things getting tense at the end. I tweeted out the gif of the dog wiping his brow after sweating profusely on Friday, and I think a lot of us kind of felt that way too if you watch that game, with Iowa having a 3-0 lead in that one, Hawkeyes building it back up to a 5-1 advantage, only to see North Carolina score 3 in the ninth, got the tying and go-ahead runs on base before they were able to close out of that one and get the victory 5-4. So surviving that one, surviving that challenge with North Carolina, and then going into a game with Indiana State, the top seed on Saturday, huge game from Raider Tello, 3-for-4 with an RBI, a couple runs scored, Sam Honar with a key double in that one, and a great performance from Brody Brecht. 7 innings pitched, gave up 2 runs, walked 4 and struck out 8, went 108 pitches. There was some thought, heard some post-game comments from Hawkeyes head coach Rick Heller, that he thought about bringing Brody Brecht back out for the 8th inning, opted against it, and unfortunately by opting against it, put Jared Simpson in the game, and that's where things got away from Iowa. In that game on Saturday, Simpson lasting just a third of an inning, ended up giving up 4 runs, only striking out 1 and walking 1 in that game. Indiana State scoring 5 in the 8th, and really saw and interacted with some folks on Twitter over the weekend about it. Indiana State, what was really important to that 5-run 8th was the leadoff hit by pitch to start that inning, an infield single, and then a bloop single that loaded the bases and really spelled the doom for Iowa in that one. And then if that didn't deflate things for Iowa in that first loss to Indiana State on Saturday, it really was Adam Pottinger, who had a heck of a series, and we'll get to him in just a second, because I thought it was funny for a moment, but in that kind of moment of the game last night in the series clincher, I don't know if it's the time and place to pretend that you caught the ball like he did in that game, faking that he caught it when Braden Frazier hit his home run late in the game yesterday to create the final margin. But Pottinger did end up robbing Frazier of a two-run home run in the ninth inning yesterday, or I should say on Saturday, that really took the air out of it. Two-run home run makes it a 7-6 game. Who knows what happens there? In the end, he robbed it. Indiana State able to close it out and send Iowa to the loser's bracket, where they would face off against North Carolina again. And there were a number of factors that worked against Iowa and really kind of, I don't want to say it, ended all hopes of them winning the regional, because, again, they were right there with Indiana State yesterday to have the potential at least to force a Game 7. But the fact that that game against North Carolina yesterday went 13 innings, really, you know, A, you had the bonus game. You had the extra game you had to play. You had to beat North Carolina to get that second opportunity with Indiana State. But it also taxed your pitching staff, going 13 innings. And for Iowa, a pitching staff that was reliant on their top-level guys, and Marcus Morgan and Brody Brecht and Ty Langenberg, all who had really good outings, they had to rely on their second-tier guys. And especially going 13 innings, you saw Jack Whitlock pitch again for the second time this weekend. You saw a guy like Will Christopherson, who, you know, I'm no baseball expert. I'm not on the Iowa coaching staff, but, you know, I've thought, at least in the back of my head, that maybe you'd see Christopherson be an innings eater and try to keep Indiana State at bay if he was available there. But again, had to go 13 innings. Christopherson able to close it out with 4 2/3 solid innings out of the bullpen. That really precluded him from going in that final game against the Sycamores on Sunday. And that left the Iowa pitching staff and the coaching staff looking for arms that were able to go and arms that were able to give them length and innings and get the job done. And, you know, it's up to the players to execute. But like I said, with an Iowa pitching staff that have relied on their top level three guys in Langenberg and Morgan and Brecht all season long, it was a tough spot to be in. Again, the Iowa offense certainly did their jobs, but giving up 11 runs to Indiana State and all told, 16 free passes, 10 hit by pitch, 10 batters for Indiana State hit by a pitch, 6 walks all told in the final game. Yesterday, just way too many free passes to be handing out. And head coach Rick Heller, after the game, talked about the pitching struggles in the regional final on Sunday and his view of how things played out.
If you know, we were going to go down, you know, make them hit it, and you know, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. I mean, we couldn't find anyone that came in and did a great job of just pounding the zone and just tons of free bases.
Head coach Rick Heller talking there. He talked a little bit as well about the approach to playing not one, but two games on Sunday, coming off a disappointing loss in that second game, the 7-4 loss, which Indiana State came back in the late innings to win that one on Saturday. Like I said, it sent Iowa to the loser's bracket and set up a tough situation. But this was the head coach's view on how things laid out for Iowa going into yesterday's games in Terre Haute.
We needed to be in attack mode, and we needed to come into this knowing that we had to, you know, score some runs and hopefully outscore them. And then the guys did a great job of bouncing back and, you know, came out and gave a great effort and fought hard, but just came up short.
Head coach Rick Heller talking there after the 11-8 loss to Indiana State. Mentioned Raider Tello with a nice series, a nice regional in Terre Haute, but Brennan DeRiggi's got to get the tip of the cap as well. The grad transfer coming in this offseason, played a key role all season long. DeRiggi in game one yesterday, 4-for-5 with a home run and drove in 3. And then home run as well in the loss in the final game, 2-for-5 with a home run and drove in 3. Blake Guerin as well. How about him? stepping in. Big swing to help Iowa at least stay in that one yesterday, ultimately falling to Indiana State to end the season. And like I said, kind of a back-and-forth affair, way too many free passes issued for Iowa, but really it was not until the seventh that Indiana State kind of pulled away and created that final margin. They were up 8-7, and then Keegan Watson with a three-run home run in the seventh extended that lead out to 11-7. Iowa did get one back, but unable to close the gap any further as they fall in their final game to Indiana State. So the season is over for Iowa. The Hawkeyes finishing 44-16 overall, and pretty impressive considering that ties the program record, which was set all the way back in 1981. And obviously, you look at that, that's a point of pride for the Iowa baseball team. 15 Big Ten wins, 15-8. Got to the Big Ten Tournament Championship game. Of course, that win over number one LSU, who I was just looking at the college baseball scoreboard here a little bit ago. They're still playing today, one of the top teams in college baseball. Currently number five in the national seed line, but still an impressive victory to start the year nonetheless. And LSU, a win away from getting to the Super Regionals, and likely one of the teams that will be representing their conference and be showing up here in Omaha. You'd expect them to, at least with all the talent that they have, with Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens and the other great players that they have in their lineup. LSU, of course, Iowa knocking them off early on in the season. So a lot to be proud of for Iowa baseball. Obviously, a disappointment with how things ended here this weekend, but overall getting back to a regional for the first time since 2017. Certainly a good check mark, a good box to check. And we'll see what this team has going for it going forward into the 2024 season. But Hawkeyes falling short, like I said, losing to Indiana State. Ended up losing to the host Sycamores twice, going 1-2 on the year. They beat them in the opener. Remember, that was referenced a handful of times during the broadcasts this weekend. But when it mattered the most, season opener, it was February 17th or whatever day it was. With two games, two cracks at it, Iowa just could not solve those Sycamores as they will move on to the Super Regional from this weekend. Super Regionals mostly set. Do have some games going on here today. A few games, a few regionals had a lot of weather issues over the weekend, especially that Baton Rouge regional, so they are a little bit behind here. So plenty of college baseball to enjoy today if you're a big college baseball or college sports fan and you want to check it out. A lot of it's on ESPN Plus. So if you don't get ESPN Plus, or maybe you just signed up for this weekend to check out the Iowa baseball games, a good reason to put it back into use. But one game over already, Florida is headed to the Super Regional. They beat Texas Tech 6-0 down in Gainesville. Have three games in progress. I mentioned LSU beating Oregon State, two powerhouse programs there. How'd they end up in the same regional? You think of top baseball players, top prospects in the baseball game, LSU and Oregon State. That's a kind of a loaded final game there in the Baton Rouge Regional. But LSU leading Oregon State 4-2 that game in the bottom half of the fourth. Arkansas and TCU, the Hogs and the Frogs, doing battle from Fayetteville. Arkansas leading 1-0 that game in the bottom half of the first. And then a really unlikely regional, the Auburn Regional, has come down to Pennsylvania versus Southern Miss. Penn and Southern Miss. Who would have seen that coming? But Penn and Southern Miss are playing an elimination game. That game just got underway as well. Also going to see the last Big Ten team alive, Indiana and Kentucky. Indiana playing Kentucky in an elimination game in the Lexington Regional. You have Duke and Coastal Carolina playing an elimination game today, too. And Stanford playing Texas Tech later on tonight. So good chunk of college baseball still to come. Just saw this go final a few moments ago from the college softball side of things, the Women's College World Series. Oklahoma keeps their 50-game win streak going. Stanford gave them all they could handle. Oklahoma beating Stanford 4-2 in nine innings. number one ranked Sooners improving to 59-1 with their victory today over the Cardinals. So that knocks Stanford out of the Women's College World Series down in Oklahoma City. One other game yet to go, that is Florida State and Tennessee, set to start at 6 o'clock Central Time. 319-366-1600, talking a little college baseball to begin the show here today. We'll get back to a little Major League Baseball, look at some of the key series coming up this week, and check out tonight's scoreboard and schedule coming up later on in the program. But we got to get to the NBA Finals. Big game last night for the Miami Heat going into Denver. Big fourth quarter. The Heat able to steal one, now headed home as they are all tied up at a game apiece. We'll talk about that, get your reaction to the NBA Finals from last night, Game 2. On the other side of this timeout with Spencer at Sports for a Monday on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have a mix of sun and clouds today, but it may be hard to see with the hazy skies from Canadian wildfire smoke. As we head into this afternoon, temperatures will still rise into the low to mid 80s. Then tonight will be partly cloudy with temperatures in the low 60s. Tomorrow we are going to have partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will be in the low 80s. Humidity will be higher. A cold front will come through, leading to the chance for some scattered showers and storms in the afternoon. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings and velvet-lined Hertin and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertin and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertin & Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 12 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT, and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Every piece of land has a story. The Upshaw's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and get involved with it.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaw's have the tools to DIY all day long. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $129 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Make the most of your land with a good, clean deal from City Tractor. Visit us at citytractor.com.
OCC! OCC!
Want to recycle right? Remember OCC, only clean cardboard. Get rid of any styrofoam or plastic wrap and make sure the box is empty before recycling. Cardboard with garbage still attached does not get recycled and could even get the good cardboard around it thrown away. The Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency reminds you to recycle right and remember.
OCC!
Only clean cardboard. Find all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Updating your heating and cooling system sounds great, but dealing with general contractors, utilities, and building departments, plus filling out all the paperwork, doesn't. Well, hold on, because E&J Geothermal will take care of everything, from the initial consultation to checking with all the right people, installing an energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal unit, and helping you file for the new increased tax credits and rebates for residential and commercial properties. You worry about nothing. E&J Geothermal's got it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
.229 here at KGYM, Spencer at Sports here on a Monday. It's the 5th day of June of 2023. 319-366-1600. Talker text line wide open for you here this afternoon. Talk a little college baseball to begin the show today. Iowa sees their season come to an end, losing to Indiana State twice in the Terre Haute Regional. Indiana State moving on to the Super Regional. Still unsure of who they will play. Mentioned games going on right now. Arkansas and TCU, they could play twice today if TCU were to end up winning, or if Arkansas were to end up winning. Either way, there could be a seventh game there in the Fayetteville Regional. TCU blew out Arkansas yesterday. Had two grand slams in the first two innings by the same guy. Incredible stuff for TCU as they look to knock the number three national seed out of the college playoffs here, the NCAA Regionals, ahead of the Super Regionals. Have to see what happens there. Arkansas leading TCU 1-0, that in the bottom half of the first. The winner of the Terre Haute Regional, the reason I bring that up, Indiana State will face the Arkansas TCU winner, whoever comes out of that regional. Other teams to advance, by the way, number one overall seed Wake Forest. We talked about them a little bit, trying to make some history. They moved on. Alabama moving on as well, as did Texas. Tennessee advanced out of the Clemson regional. Number four overall seed Clemson knocked out this weekend. They played, speaking of marathon games, they played, what, a 14-inning game over the weekend? Turned that on after the Iowa game on Saturday got done and ended up watching basically a full game. Tuned it in the ninth. Saw Tennessee take the lead, Clemson tie it, and then they just kept going and going and going. And Tennessee ended up getting out of that regional. In Clemson, South Carolina, I mentioned Florida moving on earlier today. South Carolina, the Gamecocks are moving on, as are Virginia, Oregon, Oral Roberts moving on as well to the Super Regionals here for the NCAA baseball tournament. One other update from the local side of things we had told you about, and Isaac told you about on the big board updates last week, the co-college softball team competing in the NCAA D3 World Series down in Texas. And sadly for the Cohawks, they lost yesterday to Trine. Needed to win just one game to get that championship series, and unfortunately fell short of that. Co losing this afternoon to Trine University 4-1 to end the season for the Co softball team. So the Cohawks' road does come to an end down in the D3 World Series. 319-366-1600. Moving on to some basketball, and we'll get to a little hockey here in just a little bit, but bring Isaac back in. Isaac, with game two last night, the Heat did it. They made some adjustments. They shot the ball better from three, which was huge compared to just how awful they were in game one. But we've got a series on our hands. I don't think either of us are surprised the Heat won a game. I thought it would be more likely for them to win maybe one down on their home floor in Miami. But what'd you think last night?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big, obviously the three-point shots were big for Miami. They missed so many wide-open ones in the first game, and they hit them this one. I also don't think Denver played particularly well on the defensive end.
No.
I think they I don't know what if you want to say effort, or I don't know. It's just, it was kind of sloppy defense. There was a lot of fouls on jump shots, which was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then offensively, you know, they put up 108, and you look at that, and you're like, oh, they scored pretty well. But offensively, it was pretty much Jokic scoring, and that's not exactly what you want. I mean, you want him to facilitate. So I think the Heat defensively played it just about how you have to play the Nuggets, which is make Jokic be their leading scorer. It's just the opposite of how he wants to play. He probably would want Murray or Michael Porter Jr. to be their leading scorer, and have him get, I don't know, 10 plus assists. And they played it great, where you were like, Jokic, you got to put up 40 to even be, you know, close in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't pass the ball particularly well. I think he had 4 assists and 5 turnovers. So, yeah, I mean, just good job from the Heat. I mean, that's how you have to play. It seems weird being like, you got to let this player score 40 to stop their offense, but that's kind of how you have to do it with the Nuggets. Otherwise, the other players have to be more in rhythm, it feels like. Like Murray and Porter Jr. and KCP have to consistently be seeing shots go in for that offense, for everyone in offense to score. So, Yeah, I mean, that's just how you have to play him. It's really weird saying you have to let Jokic kind of score on you to stop their offense. It feels odd saying it, but it's exactly how they played it, and it worked to a T for him.
Yeah, Jokic, 41 points, 11 rebounds, but as you mentioned, Isaac, 4 assists, 5 turnovers. Jamal Murray was the next closest scorer with 18 points. He did have 10 assists, but like you said, with Jokic in game one, even he had double digit assists, he had double digit rebounds, he had double digit points for the triple double. Jamal Murray had 20 plus in that game. It was a much better game offensively for the Nuggets as they were able to win game one. But it really was that fourth quarter last night, 36-25, that helped the Heat flip the script last night and steal game two on the road. Last night, for Miami, leading scorer Gabe Vincent, 23 points, finished 8 of 12 from the floor, 4 of 6 from 3. Jimmy Butler with 21, and Bam Adebayo, an identical stat line, 21 points and 9 rebounds, whereas Butler had 9 assists in that game. Max Strus, much better performance than we saw in game 1. Strus, 14 points, 4 of 10 from 3. Kyle Lowry with 3. And then Duncan Robinson, this was probably one of the... I don't know if it was an underrated moment, but it was a moment I don't think a lot of people are focusing on because they're focusing on the Heat having such a huge fourth quarter as a collective. But Duncan Robinson outscored the Nuggets by himself 10-2 from the 11:40 mark in the fourth to the 9:44 mark in the fourth. So almost 2 minutes. He outscored the Nuggets by himself 10-2. He scored 10 points in the game. That was his only 10 points. And he was really a spark that helped the helped the Heat overcome the Nuggets and erased that 15-point deficit they had.
Yeah, that beginning of the fourth quarter was really important for the Heat, too, because Jimmy Butler was on the bench to start the fourth quarter. So winning those minutes when Butler is not on the court is massive for the Heat. It's just like when, you know, Jokic isn't on the court and the Nuggets are winning the game or build a lead or whatever. That's massive for the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Same thing can be said for the Heat, where Butler's on the bench and they are able to, you know, eat into a deficit or even build a lead. That's huge for the Heat because then he'll be rested and he can come in and, you know, provide a nice spark off the bench. And I don't want to say spark off the bench, but he can, you know, come in and be Jimmy Butler and take over the game a little bit with, you know, recharged battery, so to speak.
You talk about Strus and Vincent combined in game one, 19 points in game one, 7 of 24 from the floor, 5 of 19 from three. Compare that to their game two numbers, where I mentioned Vincent had 23 points and then Strus with 14. Total points, 37 points, 12 of 22 from the floor, 8 of 15 from 3. And like we said after game one, they probably weren't going to shoot that poorly again. It was just about can they, you know, in kind of a – it wasn't too quick of a turnaround because you went from, you know, Thursday to Sunday, so a couple days rest, but can they figure it out? Can they find their shooting touch and show what they've shown all playoffs long? And the answer to that question was yes. And another question was, you know, what adjustments do the Heat make? They made those adjustments, like we had just talked about a few moments ago. It was all Jokic and then a few other guys. It wasn't evenly spread out as we saw in game one. And that helped Miami win that game.
Yeah, and I can't remember who said it, but someone described, obviously, Heat during the regular season didn't shoot the three particularly well. I think 33% was their season, 33 or 34% was their season regular season average. And someone described the regular season as an 82 game shooting slump for the team. and that this is how they actually shoot, which they've been consistent as far as obviously game one was, you can see as the outlier, but they've been pretty consistent at shooting the three this postseason. And it's interesting to see how I just don't understand Denver's defense yesterday. It was very just sloppy. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It was right. It was not good. Fouling on jump shots is always so weird to me. And consistently, KCP, I think, did it like 2 or 3 times. And it's just, I just don't get it. And it's very odd for a very well-coached team in the Denver Nuggets that did that. I'm looking at it here, and I don't think KCP is going to, you know, only shoot 1 for 4 again, or Michael Porter Jr., I guess, was really bad. I guess I didn't really catch that in real time, but he was 2 for 8. I think first game one, he was great on the defensive end. He had a couple blocks, played pretty physical. Even though he didn't score well, I think game two was kind of the opposite. He didn't do great on defense, and he wasn't great on the offensive end. So I would imagine he does better in game three. You got to hope he does better in game three, because you cannot have him only score 5 points and, you know, be zeros on the defensive end in the stat column there for you.
MPJ, 14 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks in game one. He was plus 20 on the floor in game one. For game two, MPJ, a minus 15 on the floor when you look at the plus minuses.
You cannot have that out of, I would assume they probably, I think he's probably their third best player. It's him or either Aaron Gordon. I think they probably switch, you know, depending on the game. And, you know, Michael Porter Jr. is young. Maybe the, I hate when it's like maybe the stage is too big for him or whatever, but I think there might be some sort of mental capacity where he's not quite there yet. He's sometimes also his shot selection is very frustrating, I'm sure, for Nuggets fans. He seems to have gone to the J.R. Smith school of shooting sometimes where, you know, if there's two defenders around you, he thinks he's open. And the only guy who that is a good shot for was J.R. Smith. It's not a good shot for Michael Porter Jr. So I think there is still some growing that he has to do as a player, particularly throughout these playoffs.
Right. And you know, that sometimes learning on the fly is what you got to do. And there's no better time than, you know, to learn than when you're in the middle of it.
I also think, you know, this was like an Eric Spoelstra like win. So I think, you know, you can say Eric Spoelstra is good enough coach to win you a game. Jimmy Butler is probably a good enough player to win you a game. And this was an Eric Spoelstra win. I mean, he made great adjustments in forcing Jokic to not be a playmaker and be their primary scorer. And I also think next game, you're going to see the Cody Zeller minutes cut to zero. I think when Cody Zeller was out there, it was ugly, I guess, is nice. Again, Cody Zeller, all credit to him. He's out there. He's still playing. He's played in the NBA Finals, but he was minus 14 on the night. And I imagine those minutes will be cut to nothing the next game.
Same amount of minutes as game one. He played 8 minutes in game one and was minus 5 on the floor. He played 8 minutes in game two and was minus 14. So
I would imagine that gets cut to zero next game, because it seemed like he, I just don't know what he really brings as far as just other than just being a body out there. Maybe that's the only reason he's out there, is to give Adebayo or Love some rest. Also interesting starting Kevin Love. That Kevin Love, you know, is what he used to be or anything like that, but you know, stretching the floor can definitely help as far as that. And he can still hit threes, particularly after the game one where the 3-point shot was terrible for him. Yeah, so that I really just marked that down as an Eric Spoelstra win, not so much as a, you know, great game from Jimmy Butler or the Miami Heat. It was just Eric Spoelstra out game plan Michael Malone, and I'm sure Michael Malone will have great adjustments for game three. They're both great head coaches, so it'll be interesting to see what, you know, the Nuggets come back to counter some of those things that the Heat did in game two.
You mentioned Michael Malone. He was not happy with his team's effort. If you've listened to ESPN Radio or watched SportsCenter, I'm sure you've heard this, but for those of you who have not, this was Denver's head coach reacting to not only the loss, but his team's effort in game two.
Let's talk about effort. I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter, they scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves or not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that to me is really, really perplexing, disappointing.
Head coach Michael Malone of the Denver Nuggets there talking about the lack of effort from his team in game two last night. Isaac mentioned 3-point shooting for Miami. You look at game one and how it played out for them. It was not good. 13 of 39 from the floor, or from beyond the 3-point arc, 33% in game one. That number bumped up to 49%, 17 of 35. And in fact, it's the seventh time this postseason the Heat have made 45% of their threes or better. They are 6-1 in those games. So when they shoot the three, they shoot it well, especially this postseason. They have been they have been doing it well. They have been successful, at least with the win-loss record here for the 2023 postseason. As for the Heat, they had this to say, this perspective in Game 2, more about them getting the victory and heading to Miami with, well, two games, two chances to win on their home floor. This is ESPN's Nick Friedell talking about Miami and what they think about being able to steal one in Denver from the Western Conference champion.
Nobody in that Heat locker room was surprised at all that they hung on in Game 2. Why is this team so resilient? Jimmy Butler called it the I don't give a damn factor. He knew that his teammates would rise to the occasion, especially when he was struggling offensively. Gabe Vincent said, we are comfortable when our backs are against the wall. This team plays better. Specifically, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, all the guys who struggled at times in Game 1. Eric Spoelstra told them, let it fly. Jimmy Butler said, I'm going to get you the ball. They started hitting shots, and the belief in that room is palpable. They feel like they're going to go back down to Miami and take the lead in this series in Game 3.
ESPN's Nick Friedell, more from the Heat side of things as they win last night 111-108. Even with that big fourth quarter they had, 36-25, it still took Jamal Murray missing the game-tying three at the final buzzer to secure that victory. So the Nuggets were not counted out of it. The Nuggets had a late push, just not able to play good enough defense last night against Miami. And we'll see what happens in Game 3. Game 3 is set for Wednesday, by the way. If you've not heard Game 3 or not seen the schedule yet, it is Wednesday, so a couple nights off. Obviously, a travel to Miami for Game 3. But we'll have it for you here coming up Wednesday night, 6:30 broadcast time. From ESPN Radio. 2:46, we got to take another quick timeout. Back with a little hockey talk, and we'll check out the baseball schedule for tonight. Some interesting series starting up this week, too. Get into that and more on the other side of this timeout. Spencer on Sports with you on the gym.
Welcome to Money Mondays with Farmers State Bank. FSB wants to supercharge your week, so grab your coffee and get ready for a financial jumpstart with these helpful Money Mondays tips from our experts at FSB.
Everyone knows the home buying market has been kind of crazy these past few years, and that definitely includes the interest rates. In today's market, I like to remind people that they're marrying the home, not the rate. Hi, I'm Tammy Yelmakoski, head of the mortgage team at FSB. With almost 25 years of lending experience, I know firsthand the many ways a mortgage loan can be customized for home buyers. From your standard fixed rate loan to a VA loan, an adjustable rate loan, and more, we're ready to go the extra mile to create the home loan that works best for you.
Money Mondays, getting your week off and running with intelligent financial advice to help you get ready for what's next. Farmers State Bank, providing you with faster answers, stronger partnerships, and better banking solutions. Explore your future with FSB at myfsbonline.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Guys, it's show-off season. When you're on the water or the road, you want your boat, motorcycle, or convertible looking sharp. So get it into Auto Interiors and Convertibles. They're the spiff-up experts. Auto Interiors and Convertibles will repair or replace boat seats or covers, motorcycle seats, convertible tops. They even do complete classic car restoration. Make everybody wish they had your toys. Get them into Auto Interiors and Convertibles, right off 380 at the H Avenue exit in Cedar Rapids.
Life is good. It's Todd Brownell Camp, and I'll be doing my show live in Las Vegas Friday, courtesy of Circa Sports Iowa. I'll be broadcasting from Circa's famous Stadium Swim. Listen for the fun here on the gym, or hey, come join me in Vegas.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your engine against sludge and wear with a synthetic oil change. O'Reilly Auto Parts has 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $35.95, plus get 2x O Rewards points. Our professional parts people can recommend the supplies you need, including a filter, funnel, shop towels, drain pan, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's up? It's a Target trend alert. New swim has just arrived and it's sunny weather approved.
If you're into bikinis or one pieces, high waists or cutouts, they're the perfect combo of trendy, flattering, and affordable.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And there are so many cool styles with gorgeous details. These suits have macrame, crochet, wood beads, pretty shells, and more. Totally a luxe for less vibe.
Yes, so dive in and shop this Target trend without the spend.
Back at 249, coming up on 250 with Spencer at Sports here for a Monday afternoon. 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Vrabelkamp in between 4 and 6. We got hockey for you tonight here on KGYM Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Florida and Las Vegas. 6:30 broadcast time. Game time just after 7 o'clock. It's our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Which team wins Game 2 of the NHL Stanley Cup Final? Is it going to be those Vegas Golden Knights? One game one on Saturday night, or is it going to be the Florida Panthers? They're going to bounce back and win Game 2 tonight. Early leader in the clubhouse, by the way. The poll question is Vegas. Listeners that have voted so far think Vegas is going to take a 2-0 series lead after winning 5-2 on Saturday night. Three goals in the third period for Las Vegas as they outlasted the Florida Panthers for a 1-0 series lead. Teams that go up 2-0 in a best-of-seven Stanley Cup final, they are 48-5 all-time, 38-3 when they go up 2-0 at home. Vegas looking to go up 2-0 in a best-of-seven series for the fourth time in franchise history, first time in the Stanley Cup final. They've won all three previous series, went up 2-0, so absolutely crucial for Florida to win a game if they have any hope of winning this series. Stats show us that. History shows us that. Florida has done pretty well in Game 2s this postseason. They're 2-0 in Game 2s this postseason, looking to avoid consecutive losses for the first time since Round 1. Of course, they were down 3-1 to Boston. Certainly would like to have a little bit more comfort than going down 3-1 in the Stanley Cup Final. But we'll see what happens tonight. Florida taking on Vegas from Las Vegas. Again, 7 o'clock game time. It'll be on TNT TV, but of course you can listen courtesy of Sports USA right here on KGYM and all of our frequencies tonight. Major League Baseball from the weekend. Major League Baseball continuing on tonight as well. Cubs out in San Diego tonight at 8:10. The Cardinals, after getting swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates, they head to take on red-hot Texas. Texas, one of the teams that's having a fantastic start to the year. Texas Rangers leading the American League West, 3.5 games up on Houston. The Rangers sitting at 38-20, while the Cardinals, like I said, they've lost 3 in a row, got swept by Pittsburgh. Cardinals 10 games below 500 heading to Texas. There, you've also got the Royals taking on the Miami Marlins tonight. Don't want to offend any Royals fans that may be listening, but I'm wondering who the executive at Fox Sports 1 was that decided to put the Royals and the Marlins as the Monday night national game. Marlins okay this year. Royals are not very good. 18-41 for the Royals. Marlins, hey, don't look now. They're in second place in the National League East, staring up at the Atlanta Braves. You've also got Tampa and the Boston Red Sox tonight, Detroit and Philadelphia from Philly. Oakland and Pittsburgh tonight at 6:05 from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh likely going to extend that win streak to 4 here for the series against Oakland. Houston and Toronto, intriguing series there up at Rogers Center in Toronto. And the Brewers in action tonight, wrapping up a series against Cincinnati. They've won the first three. Some tense moments in that series as well. Facing off against a pitcher making his MLB debut. Oh, what could go wrong? Fellow Brewers fans, you sharing my concern for tonight. Julio Teheran going for Milwaukee, who's been decent to start time in Milwaukee as kind of a fill-in arm. Free agent signing there. Andrew Abbott making his debut for Cincinnati tonight. He's a lefty. The Brewers don't hit well against lefties, so make of that what you will. We'll see. See how he does as his first Major League debut, Major League start tonight against Milwaukee at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Brewers heading right back to Milwaukee, facing off against the Baltimore Orioles. If that was not a weeknight series, midweek series, I would have tried to go and catch one of those games up in Milwaukee, but not in the cards, but Brewers and Orioles here this weekend. Cubs set to start a series in Los Angeles against the Angels tomorrow night. That also getting underway here this week. White Sox, after winning on a walk-off yesterday, White Sox walk-off grand slam from Jake Berger. They're off tonight, heading out to New York to face the Yankees, 6:05 on Tuesday evening. Interesting note from yesterday, too. Liam Hendricks, of course, know his battle with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, earned the win yesterday thanks to that walk-off grand slam. Very fitting he earned the victory yesterday on National Cancer Survivors Day. So very fitting moment for Liam Hendricks and the White Sox to get a win yesterday over the Detroit Tigers. That'll wrap up the program here today. Thanks for hanging out. As always, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 2, leading off local shows here on KGYM. Gym class is on the way next from 3 until 4. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. And like I mentioned before, we got hockey for you coming up at 6:30 from Sports USA Florida and Las Vegas in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Make it a great rest of your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow, too.